Clarence Jackson was late by 3 days, and it cost him $5.8 million U.S. dollars. It all began in October 1995 when Clarence went and bought a lottery ticket from the U.S. government lottery. He gave the ticket to his father for safekeeping and then forgot to check the numbers on the day when the winners were announced. Many months went by before Clarence remembered his ticket and he decided to go and check the numbers. So imagine his joy when he checked the numbers and discovered he had the winning ticket worth $5.8 million U.S. dollars. Hey! Clarence took his ticket to the lottery headquarters to claim his prize, but it was then that he got his second shock and his joy turned to grief. When he went to claim his prize, lottery officials informed Clarence that the deadline for him to claim the money had passed. He had the winning ticket, but he had not met the requirement to claim the prize. 5.8 million U.S. dollars won and lost. Had Clarence paid more attention to his ticket, I'm sure he would have claimed the prize on the day the winning numbers were announced. Had he known the shortness of the hour, he would have rushed to act sooner. But his lack of concern about his ticket led him to be unaware of its value. And the fact that he was unaware of its value made him unprepared to claim the prize on time. And that led to the biggest regret of his life. Today, Clarence Jackson's name is synonymous with missed opportunities. In fact, in the U.S., unclaimed lottery prizes are called Clarence Jackson jackpots. It's difficult to understand how Clarence could possess such a valuable prize and yet be so unaware and unconcerned about its value. Yet before we judge Clarence Jackson too harshly, let us examine our own lives and realize that many people today are making a similar mistake. You see, by the grace of God, we've been offered something far more valuable than 5.8 million U.S. dollars. We've been given an eternal inheritance. We've been offered abundant life on this earth and in the life to come. We've got the promises of God for victory. We know that by His grace, we will survive and thrive when we follow the Lord. Yet how many billions of souls around the world today neglect to cash in on this free gift? Many are unconcerned about their souls. They don't even believe in their need for salvation. Many others lose out on salvation simply because they keep putting off the decision to follow Jesus until it's too late. Sadly, even many of us here today are missing out on the grace of God because we don't act on what we believe. That's why today's message is so important. The fact is, even though God has given us the promise that we can survive the end of the world, there is still something we must do. There is a requirement we must meet in order to survive the end of the world. And that's what we're going to discover this morning in our sermon entitled Requirement. But before we learn God's truth, let's bow our heads and pray. Almighty and everlasting Father, we come before you today in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. We thank you that you've called us into your presence. For at the end of the day, at the end of our life, at the end of the world, the only thing we need is Jesus. Everything else will pass away. So help us to focus our attention today on you and on what is eternally valuable. We submit to you now. We bind every voice of the enemy that would come to deceive or disturb or distract us. And in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I loose the power of the Holy Spirit, the power to enlighten us with your truth, the power to give us the grace to obey you, the power to survive the end of the world. We thank you today that at the end of this day, your name will be glorified and our lives will be transformed because you met us here today. And we give you praise by faith in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. I want to invite you to take a moment and join your faith with mine today. Would you just put your hand on your chest and say after me, Lord Jesus, speak to my heart, change my life, manifest your glory in me. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome once again to Agape House New Testament Church. It's great to have you here on this beautiful Sunday as we continue our sermon series, How to Survive the End of the World. We began this series last weekend looking at the story of Noah with our sermon titled Ready. And we discovered that Noah was history's greatest survivor because he and his family lived through the great flood when everybody else was lost. And we discovered last week that Matthew 24, 37 says, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be when Jesus comes again. So not only do we need to focus on Noah and why he survived, but we also need to focus our attention on the people of his generation and see how they compare to the time we're living in today. So we looked at Noah and we looked at the people and we discovered the people of Noah's day were unconcerned about their souls. They were unaware of the coming judgment. And they were unprepared for the end of time. But Noah was able to survive the storm when no one else did because he acted differently than everyone else. Noah is history's greatest survivor because he didn't follow the crowd to do evil. He followed his faith to overcome. And from his example, we discovered that all of us can also have that faith that will help us survive the storm when we pursue God's priorities, possess God's perspective, and prepare with God's purity. Now, I want to ask everybody to do yourself a favor today. As soon as service is over, rush out to the courtyard and get a copy of last week's sermon. You need to listen to it again and again. And not only that, buy some for your friends because they need the message. You see, the fact is the end is coming and we all need to get ready. And to help us get ready today, we're going to look at the requirement that is needed to survive the end of the time. And to help us learn that, we printed sermon notes. They're in your bulletin. They look like this. And I invite you to take them out right now and help me discover the three truths about the faith required to survive the end times. They're at the top of your notes. And on the screen ahead of you is our scripture text for today, found in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Verse 7. It's just one simple verse, but I'd like to ask everybody to read it out loud with me today because I believe God's word has impact when we speak it out by faith. So will you help me do that? Read it like a radio preacher. Here we go. 3, 2, 1, go. It was by faith that Noah built a large boat to save his family from the flood. He obeyed God, who warned him about things that had never happened before. By his faith, Noah condemned the rest of the world, and he received the righteousness that comes by faith. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to your heart today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Just shout it out, by faith. Did you notice that three times in this one verse about Noah, it says he accomplished these things by faith? So Noah is not only history's greatest survivor, but he's also one of history's greatest men of faith. It was because of his faith that he survived the end of the world at that time. So what was it about Noah, and how do we know that he had faith, and how can we follow his example? What does it look like for us to have the faith that will survive the end of the world? Well, here's your first truth today. Faith attracts the favor of God. So take your pen and fill in the blank with the word favor, and let me read part of Noah's story found in the book of Genesis, chapter 6, verse 8. The Bible says, but Noah found favor with the Lord. So here's what you've got to understand first of all today. Noah did not survive the end of the world by chance. Noah wasn't chosen because of his family or his education or something else about him. Noah found favor because of his faith. It was by faith he found favor. And faith is the one requirement you need to survive the end of the world. You see, faith is the thing that moves the hand of God and attracts his attention. In a time of trouble, in a time of need, it is faith that brings God down to us. You can have a lot of good things in your life in the end of time, but if you don't have faith, you won't survive. For faith attracts God's favor. That's why Hebrews 11, 6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So simply put, faith is the requirement to receive what you require. Faith is like that annoying alarm clock that when you're dead sound asleep at 4 a.m. and the alarm begins to go off, burm, burm, burm. Faith is like that alarm clock that won't cut off, it won't stop ringing, it won't stop alarming until you get up and turn it off. God can't ignore your faith. Faith is like the police roadblock with that skinny policeman standing on the highway. No matter how much speed you have, no matter how big your vehicle, when the policeman puts his hand up, every vehicle stops because God stops to attend to you. You have faith. Faith is like that phone that keeps on ringing and ringing and ringing until you pick it up and answer. God picks your call. Because of faith. Faith is like someone knocking at your gate and knocking at your gate and knocking at your gate and knocking at your gate. No matter where you are in the house or what you're doing, the person won't stop knocking at your gate and knocking at your gate till you come down and answer. And God says, if you keep knocking, the door will be open to you. Faith is like the child that keeps on crying and crying, and the child will not be silent until the mother picks the child up. And God won't leave you alone. He will meet your need when you have faith, because faith is something that God can't ignore. Faith stops God where he is and draws his attention to you. Faith makes God pick your call and open the door and pick you up and meet your need. And all men are created equal, and God is no respecter of persons, but faith is the thing that attracts God's attention and his favor. That's why 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, the eyes of the Lord search back and forth across the whole earth, looking for people whose hearts are perfect toward him, so that he can show his great power in helping them. And God is looking right down on this world right now. He's looking through Ghana and East Lagos and Greater Accra. He's looking through Africa and all around the world, looking for people who have a heart of faith, because when he sees a man or woman who has faith, it attracts his attention and brings him down to meet their need. See, it doesn't matter the circumstances in your life today. It doesn't matter what surrounds you. Your situation does not hinder God's power from working in your life. God's not limited by the trouble you face. God's not limited by the turmoil in the world. God's not limited by the enemies against you. He's only limited by your lack of faith. God's not hindered by your feelings. God's not hindered by what people say about you on Facebook. God's not hindered by what your family says about you. God's not hindered by what your boss says about you. God is not hindered by the party in power. God's not hindered by the value of the CD. God's not limited by the banks that close. He's only limited by your faith. We've got to realize today that Noah lived in a very dark day. If anybody had bad circumstances, it was Noah. The Bible says every man and every woman had evil in their mind continuously. Everybody opposed Noah. Everybody was against him. The whole world was mocking him. But that darkness did not prevent God's light from shining and bringing deliverance. In fact, the darker the night, the greater God's light will shine. That's why Romans 5:20 says, where sin increased, grace increased all the more. And I'm here to declare to you today, you may be surrounded by sin. You may be surrounded by enemies who are aiming at you and attacking you. You may be surrounded by depressing circumstances and by dark storm clouds. You may be surrounded by all the evil of this world. But wherever you are, no matter who you are, when you're surrounded by darkness and evil, God's grace is greater and God's grace abounds. And the darker your night, the brighter his light. The more the attack, the greater his deliverance. The darker your storm, the greater will be God's answer. If you believe it, say amen. So here's the truth you need to pack up and take home with you. Your destiny is not determined by what happens in the world. Your destiny is determined by what happens with your faith. And that means that no matter what's going on in God or the world, it doesn't determine your destiny. Your environment doesn't limit God. He's greater than the storm, greater than the evil, greater than the government, greater than any problem in this life. And here's the problem many of us are facing today in our faith. The reason we don't have faith to survive is because we put our hope on the things we can see rather than on the Word of God. If things go well in our external environment, we start to get excited. We say, hey, God is moving, God is moving. But when things go bad or we get discouraging news, we begin to get depressed and discouraged. When the darkness and the storm increases, we feel down. And in the end time, the darkness will increase, but we don't need to feel down if we have faith. This is why Jesus said in Luke 18:8, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Because the times will be so turbulent and the storms will be so dark and people will be looking at the difficulties, the trials, and the troubles, and they will get discouraged. But I'm here to tell you, God's favor is not limited by what's going on around you. God's favor is not determined by what's happening in the world or in the government. It's not based on the value of the city or the party in power. It's based on your faith. If you believe it, say amen. Back in the early days in Nigeria, back in 1983, when my wife and I were just starting out in our missionary work, we had a funny thing that happened. In those days, the economy in Nigeria ran into a rough patch, and suddenly things began to go down. The oil money had pumped in the 70s, but by the 80s, things were going astray, and the prices started increasing, the naira started devaluing, and even though the government stepped in to put measures in place to arrest the situation, we, the people, also stepped in and put a measurement in place to evaluate how they were doing, and it had to do with the washing powder, Omo. You see, what happened is we called it the Omo barometer, all right? If the price of Omo went up in the market, we say, hey, things are not good, things are not good, things are bad. But when the price of Omo came down, we say, hey, things are getting better. It was the Omo barometer. We based our hope on the price of washing powder. The funny thing is, if we're honest, every one of us has an Omo barometer. We all have something we look at that we get contentment from. Some of us, when we hear the news, we get excited. Some of us hear the same news and we get depressed. Some of us look at the price of cocoa or gold or the exchange rate or the CD value, and we begin to get happy or sad. If the price of gold and cocoa goes up, we begin counting how we're going to spend billions. When the price goes down, we start cutting corners. For some of us, the barometer of our contentment and satisfaction and peace, how many likes we get on our Instagram page. We take our sense of peace and security from external events in the world. So, what's your Omo barometer? In other words, what do you look at to give you peace and security? Are you looking to God and His Word, or are you looking to external circumstances in the world? Because in the end times, if your Omo barometer is the government in power or the value of a currency, you're going to fail. You won't survive, because the world will shake and everything around us will collapse. There will be Chinese soldiers marching in the capital, Washington, D.C. There will be a collapse of every bank, every monetary instrument, every government will fall. You will see such a shaking that has never happened. And if you're basing your peace and security and contentment on events in the world, you won't survive. But remember, your destiny is not determined by what happens in the world. Your destiny is determined by what happens with your faith. And if God said He would save you, and if God said He would guide you, and God said He would deliver you, and God said you would survive and thrive, then you can trust in Him and you can believe in Him, because His word never fails. And if God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. That's why when Jesus spoke about the end times, He told us to have faith and not to panic. In Matthew 24:4-14, He's having a heart-to-heart with His disciples, and He says to them, listen guys, there's going to be war and famine and distress, and everything around you will fail. Listen to His words. You'll hear of wars and threats of wars, but don't panic. Tell your neighbor, don't panic. And the good news about the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world so that all nations will hear it, and then the end will come. And listen to what Jesus is telling us. He says, you don't need to panic. You can lift up your eyes and be happy, because the good news is being preached. That means when the Antichrist rules, the good news will still be preached. That means when persecution comes, the gospel will still be preached. That means that no matter how dark the world, no matter how wicked the society becomes, there will not be any in this world that can keep the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ from penetrating, because at the end of the day, this world is not ruled by darkness. This world is ruled by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. If you believe it, shout hallelujah. See, sadly, many people think of the end times as the time of darkness and sorrow, and it is. But there is no darkness so strong the light of God cannot penetrate. There's no pit so deep the love of God cannot reach down and deliver us. That's why verse 14 of Matthew 24 says, this gospel of the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world. For there's no inch of territory that the devil can control and keep out the message of Jesus Christ. And there's a lesson for all of us in that. It means that there's nothing in your life today that is outside the reach of Christ. There's no circumstance, no relationship, no position, no finance, no difficulty in your life that is beyond the reach of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. He can save you and heal you and deliver you when the world around you is falling apart. And as Christ's victory is manifested in you, God is going to raise you up as a testimony. God is going to raise us up as a witness and as a light. That's what happened to Noah. You see, ever before Noah came and rescued the world through his family in the ark, his father proclaimed blessing over him. For the name Noah means comfort and rest. And in Genesis 5:29, Lamech, the of Noah, named his son Noah, for he said, may he bring us relief from our work and the painful labor of farming this ground that the Lord has cursed. And I'm here to declare to you today that ever before the end of the world comes, your Father in heaven has named you. He has blessed you and anointed you and prophesied over you. He calls you the light of the world. He calls you the salt of the earth. He calls you his ambassador, his very own possession. He calls you his son and daughter. The face of overwhelming darkness, God has named you and anointed you and called you to be a blessing unto the world when you have faith in your heavenly Father. If you believe it, shout hallelujah. The fact is, Noah was anointed to live in his generation, and you're anointed to live in this generation. God has you right here, right now, in this time of history, in this place, to walk in favor even when the world stumbles in darkness. And that's why you can rejoice no matter what is happening around you. That's why you can lift up your hand regardless of the government, regardless of the road, regardless of the power or lack thereof, regardless what of the devil does. You can be confident, and faith rejoices because faith attracts God's favor. When you tune your ears to the word of God, you can never be discouraged. You will rejoice. Reminds me of the story of the time when many years ago up in the northern region, there was a small village that had a group of young men that they had as their football team. And one Sunday afternoon, they invited a neighboring village to send their football team and have a match. And they set up the football pitch in the middle of the village, and all the villagers came. And the local team tried their best, but no matter what they did, the game, the match went against them. The visiting team came in and started scoring goal after goal. Well, all the villagers were watching their local team go down to humiliating defeat, and they were feeling discouraged, looking at what was happening on the pitch, and they were getting discouraged. But there was one group of small boys, too small to play, who were standing on the side of the pitch watching the match. And yet, for some reason, every now and then, they would start jumping and clapping and cheering, yay! They would start dancing and shouting hallelujah. And people were surprised. After all, our team is losing. We are being humiliated. You are standing there jumping and rejoicing. What they were doing didn't make sense based on what everyone could see. So some of the adults went over to look at them and talk to them. What are you doing? We are losing and you're rejoicing. When they got closer to this group of small boys, they discovered there was a radio in the midst of this small group of boys. And while they were watching the match in their local village, they were listening to the Black Stars play Atoheni Jan in Accra. And the Black Stars are winning. The Black Stars are scoring goals. The Black Stars go do. And every time the Black Stars scored, the boys were shouting and rejoicing. They were not reacting based upon what they could see in front of them. They were rejoicing based on a news of something happening in a better place. And so it is for us today. If you base your hope and faith on what you see around you, you will never survive the end of the world. But if you tune your ears to the heavenly chorus and you hear the angels singing, holy, 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 and you lift up your eyes to see an unshakable king coming with his unshakable kingdom, no matter what is happening in front of you, you will rejoice. That's why faith is the requirement to survive the end time. Faith brings God's favor, and his favor will carry us through. His favor draws us close to him, and the closer we get to God, the stronger we get in our faith. For you see, the type of faith that overcomes comes through fellowship with God. And that's our second truth today. Faith is built on close fellowship with God. Take your pen and fill in the blanks with the words close and fellowship. And listen to how Noah's story continues in Genesis 6, verse 9. The Bible says, Noah was a righteous man, the only blameless person living on earth at the time, and he walked in, everybody say it with me, close fellowship with God. Go ahead and turn your notes over to page 2 and think about what the Bible is saying. We know that Noah had faith because he attracted the favor of God. But we also see that we know that Noah had faith because he walked in close fellowship with God. And his close fellowship gave him the faith to endure. And the same thing is true for all of us. If you have faith today that will make it through the end time, you have to walk in close fellowship with God. That's why the number one book in the Bible about the end times is called Revelation. It is a revelation of Jesus Christ. And the book that God gave us that prepares us more than any other for the end time is a book that is revealing Jesus Christ to us. Because to have the faith that will survive the end, you need close fellowship with God. And all through the Revelation, we get a picture of Jesus. Don't focus on the disasters. Don't focus on the damage. Focus on Christ revealed in Revelation. As it says in Revelation 1, 17 to 18, Jesus laid his right hand on me, that's John, and said, don't be afraid. I'm the first and the last. He begins to reveal himself to the apostle John. And then he says, I am the living one. I died. But look, open your eyes and look. Get a revelation, get a vision. As I am. Look, I'm alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and the grave. And in order to get us through the end time, God gives us a revelation of who he is. God gives us a revelation of who he is to enable us to survive the end of the world. And throughout the world, Jesus reveals himself to us because what we need is close fellowship with God. He wants to take you beyond hearing about him to knowing him. He wants to take you beyond listening about him, experiencing Christ. And Christ appeared to John the apostle and said, write it down that people may know and understand me. That's why Job 42 verse 5, the Bible says, my ears heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. And if you want a faith that will survive the end of the world, you've got to go beyond hearing about God and getting alone with him to know him, getting a revelation. Ask God to open your eyes of your spiritual understanding and to him. For today, there are so many voices in the world. There's social media with Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and WhatsApp and all kinds of other things constantly pinging on our phone. There's radio, television, and the internet. There's billboards and advertising, and the devil is increasing the volume to try to drown out the voice of God. But those who survive the end of the world will have an ear tuned to heaven. Those who survive with faith will have an ear tuned to listen to what God says. That's over and over in Revelation. The Word of God says, anyone with ear to hear must listen to the Spirit. Jesus repeats this 8 times because you've got to tune in to God and tune out the world. We can learn a lesson from the story of the mother who lived in a simple flat, Adabraka. She had no air conditioning. She had her windows open, but the noise of the city was constant day and night. Sirens were going past and cars were blaring their horn and music was playing and loudspeakers were broadcasting even 2 a.m. The hawkers and the music were so loud. Yet this woman learned to drown out the noise of the world and go put her head on a pillow and sleep through the noise. But that same woman who drowned out the noise of the city, if her baby in the other room made a simple cry, the mother woke up and rushed to help the child. And in the end times, God says you've got to drown out the voices that don't matter so that you can pay attention to the voices that do. When we tune our ears to Jesus, we'll have the strength to overcome the storm. That's why Jesus said in Revelation 12, for the accuser of brothers and sisters has been thrown down to earth, and they have defeated him by the blood of the Lamb and by their testimony. The testimony, personal relationship with God. When we know him personally and testify of our relationship, we have faith that survives the end. So, what's your testimony? Is it about the church? That's good. Is it about your family? That's good. But the testimony you need is that you know him, you walk with him, you hear his voice, and you're drawing closer to him. That's the faith that survives the end of the world. Some years ago, there was a mother had a little six-year-old boy. They used to go out to farm together early in the morning. One day, they took their cutlass and went out to the farm. Unexpected storm arose. Suddenly, the rain came down in buckets. The wind began to howl. The mother grabbed her cutlass and her little boy, and they rushed to a mango tree to take shelter. But the little boy was shivering and shaking and crying with fear, because even though they were under the mango tree, the thunder was rumbling and the lightning was flashing. And the little boy was crying and said, "Mommy, I'm afraid." The mommy tried to quiet him, but nothing she said mattered. And finally, she looked at the cutlass in her hand and she said, "Son, what is this?" He said, "Mommy's your cutlass." She said, "Are you afraid of it?" "No." "Don't you know this cutlass can wound you? Don't you know this cutlass can cut you? Don't you know this cutlass can kill you? Why aren't you afraid of this cutlass?" He said, "I'm not afraid of the cutlass. I know it can wound me, but it's in your hand. And I know you will never hurt me." And she said, "Son, the storm is dangerous, but the storm is in God's hands. And you can trust him." And today, Jesus says to you, Jesus said to you, "Don't fear the storm, because nothing in God's hand can ever hurt you. No matter how the storm blows, your life, this world, is in his hands. There will be tough times ahead. There will be tribulation. There will be terror and trouble. Men's hearts will fail them. But we don't fear any of those things, because we know the God who holds the world in his hands." That's why Jesus said in Luke 21:28, "Now when these things begin to happen, look up, lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near." So here's the truth you need to pack up and take home with you today. The closer you get to Jesus, the more faith you possess. And the more faith you possess, the closer you get to Jesus. See, faith is not something you feel. Faith is not something you use just when you're in trouble. Faith is not something you keep in your back pocket. When you have a problem, you bring it out and then you put it away. Faith is not just for Sundays. Faith is a lifestyle. It's a moment-by-moment experience walking with the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10, 37 and 38. "In a little while, he who is to come and will not wait. Now the just shall live by faith." And for many years, many of us have heard Hebrews 10, 38, "The just shall live by faith." You've heard it preached. You may have said it yourself. "The just shall live by faith." But it specifically says, "The just shall live by faith in the time of the end." It specifically lists, "The just shall live by faith," in conjunction with the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because this is the day and this is the hour when we need to live by faith. A lot of Christians get excited when they hear the man of God proclaim a promise. And they jump up and say, "I believe, I believe, I receive." But the fact is, friend, if you really believe, you would walk with Jesus every day. You wouldn't put your faith in a convention or a conference or a prayer meeting. You would develop your faith daily through a walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith is not something you feel. It's something you develop as you walk with God. And this is where so many of us are going wrong. We want a word of comfort or a word of promise or a word of hope about our future. But the word you really need is a word of the revelation of Jesus Christ, because it's who he is that gives the promise power. It's who he is that makes comfort meaningful. It's who he is that gives you confidence for the future. If you believe it, say amen. And the only people who will survive the end of the world are those who walk with God, who listen to his voice and obey him. And that brings us to our third truth today. Faith results in following God. Take your pen and fill in the blank with the word following and listen to how Noah's story continues in Genesis 6:22. The Bible says, so Noah did everything. Somebody say everything. Noah did everything exactly. Somebody say exactly. As God had commanded him. We know that Noah had faith because he attracted God's favor. We know he had faith because he walked in fellowship with God. But we know he had faith because he followed God and did everything exactly as God told him. Think about Noah for a moment. Even before they knew what a ship was, Noah built an ark. Even before they knew what rain falling was, Noah prepared for the rain. Even before they experienced their first flood, Noah prepared for the flood because he believed God. And here's what you need to remember. Faith is seen in the fact that you follow Jesus. The greater your faith, the more closely you follow him. See, faith is not proven by your excitement. You may feel excited today and depressed tomorrow. That's not your faith. That's just your feelings. Faith is not proven by positive thinking. I'm all in favor of positive thinking. Positive thinking is better than negative thinking. But you can have positive thinking and not have faith. Faith follows Jesus. And faith is not positive confession. You can declare and name and decree all day long. I'm not against positive confession, but you can have positive confession without faith. Faith is seen in obedience to Christ. That's why Amos 3:3 says, can two people walk together without agreeing on the direction? Faith brings you into agreement with God. When you believe what he says, you do what he says. And oftentimes, we have a problem with our faith because we don't see the next step. We don't see what's coming. We're looking down the road and it looks dark and we hear God's voice saying to go ahead, but we feel afraid. We need to remember Noah, who didn't know what the future held, but he did everything exactly as God said. Listen, the Holy Spirit's speaking to some of you right now. He's told you what to do, but you haven't understood it, so you keep resisting. He's told you what to do, but you're hesitating because you don't know how. But sometimes you need to fall into his arms, whether you see him behind you or not. There may be things God will tell you to do in the end that don't make sense, but you prove your faith through your obedience. One night here in Accra, house caught fire. Gas cylinder in the kitchen exploded and fire began to consume the house rapidly. The husband and wife were in the parlor watching TV and they were able to grab themselves and rush out into the compound, but their little six-year-old boy was sleeping upstairs in the bedroom. The husband tried to go back in to rescue the child, but the flames were so hot and the fire so intense and the smoke so black, he couldn't make it. They could only stand outside the window of their son and cry out to him, hoping they would wake him, hoping that he could get to the window and somehow they could get him down. So they were calling, Kofi, Kofi, wake up. Thank God, after a minute or two, Kofi came stumbling to the window, coughing and choking. The fire was getting more intense. The flames were hot. The smoke was black. Kofi came to the window and said, Mommy, Daddy, where are you? Help, help. There was no ladder to climb to reach him. So the father had no choice but to say, Kofi, you have to jump. Jump from the window. If you jump, I will catch you. But as Kofi looked out the window, the smoke was so thick, he couldn't see the ground. He couldn't see his father. He was looking out and said, but Daddy, I can't see you. I can't jump because I can't see you. The dad said, Kofi, you don't need to see me because I see you. If you'll jump, I promise I'll catch you. The debate went back and forth for a minute. As the flames got hotter, the smoke got thicker. Father kept encouraging, Kofi, jump, I'll catch you. Jump, I'll catch you. Jump, I'll catch you. And finally, with the flames closing in, Kofi had no choice but to climb up on the window ledge. Couldn't see where he was going. He threw himself out the window, and his dad came underneath him and caught him. And today, God says to you, if you don't see me, I see you. You may not know where you're going. You may not know what lies ahead. But wherever you jump, wherever you move, I am there to catch you. For underneath are God's everlasting arms. So hear the word of the Lord to you today from Hebrews 10. Do not throw away your confidence. Don't get rid of your faith. Your faith will be richly rewarded. It's what you need to survive the end. You need to persevere. Keep following God so that when you've done the will of God, when you've obeyed Him fully, you will receive what He's promised. Deliverance, salvation, redemption, eternity with Him in heaven. That's why Jesus said in Revelation 3:11, I'm coming soon. Continue strong in the faith so no one will take your crown. Nothing that's been done to you is greater than what God can do for you. In the end times, as persecution rises and troubles surround us, remember that God's grace is greater. When you follow Him, He will carry you through and you will survive the end of the world. That's the requirement He offers to us today, to have faith in Him. Faith that attracts His favor, faith that brings us close in fellowship, faith that causes us to follow God and survive the end of the world. Will you bow your head and pray with me right now? Almighty and everlasting Father, we thank You. Thank You for Your promise that underneath us are the everlasting arms. Thank You, Lord, today that Your grace is greater than every problem, every turmoil, every tumult, every darkness. Thank You, Lord, that in the midst of the storm, You came and met Noah, and You will meet us. For all who have faith will attract Your favor. All who have faith will fellowship with You. All who have faith will follow You. So today, God, we ask You to increase our faith. No matter how much faith we have, take it to the next level to prepare us for the end. Let us meet this one requirement. Build our faith today, Lord. Give us a faith that attracts Your attention. Give us a faith that draws us close to You. Open our ears that we might hear Your voice and understand and encounter You. Give us faith today to obey everything You tell us exactly as You said. Lord, stir in our hearts today and increase our faith so that we might survive the end of the world. Right now, Lord, I pray You speak to us. For those who lack an intimate knowledge of You, I pray You'll open our eyes today. Drown out the noise of the world. Drown out the sound of Satan. Drown out the things clamoring for our attention. Reveal to us by Your Spirit the depths of Your love. Reveal to us by Your Spirit the knowledge of You. We pray You open our hearts today, Lord. Let us walk by faith every moment of the day with You. Move in us, soften us, revive us, Lord, that we will have a hunger to follow You. Build our faith, Lord. We thank You now as we wait upon You. In Jesus' name, hallelujah.